I forgot to mention it earlier, but I have a special prayer request, and I'd like you to join with me in prayer. I've got a friend named Dean Higgins. Danny just told me that he's in the hospital this weekend, and he's getting weaker, and they're going to release him maybe tomorrow. And but to be prepared for hospice. And he's a good friend of mine. And I'd like for you to pray with me right quick as we pray for Dean. Jesus, this morning when I got to the 8 o'clock service was the first time I really felt the spirit of Christmas. And it was because of my family here, my friends and family and loved ones. Lord, I can't think of Christmas without thinking about Dean. Lord, you saw Dean all these Christmases every year for a long time. He would get me to find a family. And me and him I just done it because Dean told me to. We'd go buy groceries and stuff with the family and spend all kind of money, and we'd take it to them. But he taught me a lot about generosity. He done this in secret, Lord, but I know you knew. Lord, now Dean's body is riddled with cancer. And I hurt for my friend. Lord, I'm not even sure what to ask for. I guess I ask that you give him the days that you ordained, no more, no less. But Lord, it's that pain that he's a good man, and I just pray that he wouldn't be in any pain. His family's got a good family. They're going to hurt. They're hurting now. So Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you to help my friend. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, like I said, I'm now in the Christmas mood. Got to see everybody, and it put me in the mood. So Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. It's been a good, of all the names, I told Donovan, I loved hearing him say all those names. Prince of Peace and Wonderful Counselor and all of that. Can somebody hand me some tissues? I don't see any. That's all right. There's something in this basket I'll use. I got it. Do I look like I worried about embarrassing myself? Thank y'all. Of all the names that I love Jesus, I love the one for me is Rescuer. Because he rescued me and he rescued all of us. And that's the one I really like. And it always reminds me of the trip to Unicoi about 10 years ago. I was 44 and Luke was 8. You remember that, Luke, when we went to Unicoi and went mountain biking? Well, we was bad to the bone. we were camping. We went mountain biking on bikes that didn't belong on a mountain trail. Well, we'd been in there about 4 or 5 hours, and we got lost on a marked trail. Oh, we were lost. Luke kept telling me, "Dad, if you just keep going around here, we'll make it." Well, I came to a spot where I had cell phone service. I said, "As Dad, 44-year-old, we stopping right here. I'm calling the park rangers, and they're going to come get us. They're going to rescue us. I ain't going no further. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm irritable." He said, "Dad, if you just keep going right here, we'll be right there." I said, "You're 8. I'm 44. We stopping right here. Stopping right here. I know what I'm doing." Although I was the one that got us lost. So I got service, and I called them. They said, "We'll be right there, Mr. Pinker." I said, "Thank you, sir." He said, "Dad, it's just right." I said, "They on the way. We're going to sit right here. Just calm down." Guy come just a few minutes. A guy came by on the bike. Remember that? He said, "Hey, guys, you're just right around through there. Hey, if y'all follow me, I'll show you the way out. Luke, I told you, Dad." I said, "We good. I done made the call. They coming to get us. I'm going to be rescued." Because I could just see myself on a milk carton. You know? I was ready to be rescued. It wasn't just a few moments. I heard the putter and those UTVs coming. I was a happy man. They throwed my bike and Luke's bike. Luke was giving me that old skank eye like he didn't. He was sort of embarrassed because we was lost. And I didn't care. I jumped in that UTV, throwed back in the back, put my feet up on the dash. They brought us 2 fresh Gatorades. We got in that Gatorade. I wasn't embarrassed at all. Luke was sold up over there because he knew the way. We passed that old boy on the bicycle. What a loser. So we got on down there. I thanked them boys plenty of times. I thought, you know, we're a statistic now. But I'm telling you, I love being rescued. How many of you guys ever been lost? See, I ain't the only one. Yeah, I ain't the only one. It's tough being lost. Good to be rescued. But some of us have lost something this year. Some of us have lost someone this year. You might have lost your job. You might have lost your joy. Maybe a little bit of your health. And I love Jesus being a rescuer. So we're going to look at Jesus. I mean, we're going to look at Christmas at a little different angle this year. We've talked about for 17 years now. We've talked about it at different angles, different characters. And but this year I want to look at what I believe is the real reason that Jesus came and the real reason for Christmas. And to do that, we have to look at Jesus as an adult, where he explains the reason that he came to earth. Luke 19:10 says this. Jesus said this. He said, "I have come to seek and to save those who are lost. I have come to seek and to save those who are lost." See, Jesus didn't come just to be a baby. He didn't come just to stay the baby. He came to grow up and to be an adult. And then he came to die on the cross, and then he came to be resurrected. That was the reason he came. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. And guys, if you miss this, if you don't understand this, you might as well box up your Christmas lights. You might as well, you know, quit giving the gifts, take them back. And I almost said you might as well quit eating the Christmas meals, but don't do that. And don't stop inviting me to eat those. But you might as well stop sending the Christmas cards if you don't understand why we're celebrating. We're celebrating because he came to seek and to save who was lost. I mean, it's a big deal. The world almost stands still, you know, for the month of December as we celebrate Jesus Christ coming to earth. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean to be lost? What is it? What do I lose when I'm lost? And what does it mean to be saved? Those are big questions. And there's a chapter in the Bible, we call it the Lost and Found chapter, that fortunately explains all of that. And it's Luke chapter 15. It talks about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And I hope you'll bear with me and let me just read Luke chapter 15. I read it in the other two services, and I have a wonderful voice, one that you'll enjoy. Let me read this. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and he eats with them." So he told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who needs no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And he said, "There was also a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you. I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead, and he is alive. He was lost and is found.'" Amen. Jesus came to seek and to save who was lost. To be spiritually lost is to be separated from God. It means to be disconnected. The way I word it is to be out of whack. You know, not to be reconciled to God. You know what I'm talking about? When you ever prayed and you felt like your prayers didn't get past the ceiling? I have. I was out of whack with God. I was just, my relationship was kind of messed up with him. You know, and it seemed like God was a million miles away. Anybody ever felt like God was a million miles away? Yeah, I mean, and it happens. And he's going to be that way until we're reconnected to him. We're spiritually lost. But Christians, there's good news. There's good news. And this week I want to look at what do I lose when I'm spiritually lost. Then next week we're going to look at how am I saved. Now, the very first thing to do is what do I lose when I'm lost? Is number one, the first thing is this, I lose my direction. Now we're going to look at all three of these parables. The first one is the lost sheep. But I lose my direction. That just means I lose my direction in life when I'm lost. What's that mean? I just start wandering. You know, no sheep intends to get lost. And we don't either. We don't intend to. We just get lost naturally. It's the nature of sheep to wander. Let me tell you another story about Luke. When Luke was about five, we went to Dollywood. And it was Christmas time. You know, this time of year, it was cold. We were out there. It was nine. The lights were on. There were thousands of people. We were like shoulder to shoulder. And so we're just having a good time, blah, 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 looking at the lights. And, well, we didn't know it, but, you know, Luke's five, so he's not tall. He's right there along with the ducks. Well, a duck came by. Luke saw the duck. Luke followed the duck. Without us knowing that Luke followed the duck. The duck went to the lake away from us. Well, all of a sudden, we're going around, and Angie says, "Where's Luke?" And, of course, it was my fault. I said, "I don't know. I don't know." Because I was looking at the ducks, probably. We couldn't find him anywhere. So I immediately ran to the gate. And I said, "Hark," I had a picture of him. I said, "You see this little blonde-headed boy? If he comes up here with anybody else besides me and his mother, you don't let him out. Shut the park down." It's what I told this lady at the gate, the gatekeeper. I said, "Don't let him out." She said, "I can't do that." I said, "Don't you let him out." We got to running back. Now, we had taught Luke that if you ever become separated from us, you go to a woman with kids or you go to a person in uniform. Don't go to an old man. We said, go to a woman with kids. Fortunately, that's what he did. He went to a woman with kids who led him to a security guard, and they brought him to us, and I was so happy to see him, I could have killed him. But, you know, we just wander naturally. Luke didn't do that intentionally to be separated from us. Kids just wander naturally. Adults, me and you, we're just like sheep. We tend to wander. We're prone to wander. And we don't naturally follow God's ways. We have to choose to follow God's ways. It's a choice. Because by nature, you know what I do? By nature, I do what I want to do. That's what I do by nature. But I love what the Bible says in Isaiah. All of us have strayed away, just like lost sheep. We've all left God's path to follow our own ways. When we start following our plan instead of God's plan, we're going to wander. We're going to stray. We're going to get lost. The second thing we lose is this. I lose God's protection. This is important. I lose God's protection. When we lose our direction, we're going to lose His protection. You know that sheep, you've heard this a lot of times, I know, but sheep are one of the most vulnerable animals on the planet. They don't bite. They don't really fight back. They ain't got no claws that they can get a hold of you. You know, just about anything can attack a sheep. So a sheep without a shepherd is a goner. I mean, that's just the way it is. The sheep without that's not under the shepherd's protection is going to get killed. It's going to be a goner. And it's true with us too. We're going to be a goner. Zechariah 10:2 says, my people are wandering like lost sheep without a shepherd to protect and to guide them. Guys, when you don't have the shepherd's protection, when you're wandering around without, this is why you get stressed out. This is why you worry so much. You think that life depends on you. Did you know that? This is why you worry. And you know, and the truth is, if you're not under the shepherd's protection, it does depend on you. It does depend on you. You're it. You're all you got. I'm telling you, somebody, the first thing I think of when somebody, and every day somebody, I'm just so stressed out. Well, I want to say, you're a control freak. You're stressed out because you're disconnected from God. You're stressed out because you think it's all up to you. It's up to me. You're all you got. You know, God didn't intend for us to go through life stressed out. He didn't intend for that. That little girl's looking at me. You know what good looking is. I'm telling you that. Yeah, don't go to the old man. Especially with Hawaiian Santa shirts on. But guys, when we wander off on our own, we're not protected by the shepherd. We're just not protected by the shepherd. And if you're not following the shepherd, you're on your own. The Bible says that Jesus is the good shepherd. If you're not under his care, you're not being protected. And all kinds of stresses, all kinds of anxieties are going to be what you have. The third thing is this. Now we're going to move to talking about the coins. Now this is important. I really like this one. When we're talking about the coins, I lose my potential. I lose my potential. This is what the story of the coin tells us. There's an enormous potential in any coin. You know, a coin can bless a family, you know. It can build a business. It can create art. You know, it can provide help. You know, there's lots of things that a coin can do. A coin has the potential to do that. Y'all see what I'm saying? But if that coin is lost over there under that tree, it has no potential because it's lost. But now, if it's lost over there on that tree, it's still worth something. It's still valuable, but it has no potential because it's lost, so it's wasted. You see, it's still valuable. It's still worth a dollar or a quarter or whatever it might be, but it's wasted. It's wasted. So when our lives are not in tune with God's plan for us, we still have value. We're still worth something, but it's wasted because we're not using it. You see, God only knows your potential and my potential, our full potential. Only you don't know your full potential. We only know about half our gifts and talents. Only God knows what you and I are fully capable of. To know what we're fully capable of, you got to go to the Creator. And the more connected you are to the Creator, the more He can pull out the potential in your life. The more disconnected that you are, it's just going to be wasted. It's lost. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no one has ever seen or heard or even imagined the wonderful things that God has prepared and arranged for those who love Him. You miss all of God's plan for your life if you are not connected to Him. Ephesians 3:20 says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by His power working within us. I want to tell you something, guys. God can do a whole lot more than you think He can. I'm a testimony to this. He can do a whole lot more than you think he can. He can do more in your life than you could do, than you think he could do. But if you're not connected, if you're not plugged in, you got no power. Other day when we got back from the mountains, I told my wife, Angie, I said, I'm going to clean out this. We got a little refrigerator on the garage, and we started to put something in it. I opened it up. Oh, my gosh. It was awful. There was all kinds of stuff in it. A lot of stuff was growing hair. And it was just had spots of stuff. Some kind of mold and all this stuff growing. It scared me, and I shut it. I shut it, and then I didn't get around to it until yesterday. I said, I'm getting that refrigerator off. I told her, I'm going to throw it away. It ain't no good. It just ain't no good. So I got me a little tongs, you know, them pickup tongs. God didn't want to touch that stuff. It was some cans or something. And so I cleaned out the refrigerator, and I got all the hair stuff out and pulled it away from the wall. And guess what? I found out why it wasn't working. Wasn't plugged in. Plugged it in, guess what? Works fine. We got a good refrigerator. Now, what about that? All this time, I was about to throw something away because I thought it was wasted. And it just wasn't plugged in. Just wasn't plugged in. So I cleaned it up. Blame Luke for unplugging it. So many times we just don't plug into the power. And God says, you plug into me. You plug into me, you have power. He can do more than we can imagine. Number four. Fourth thing I lose is this. I lose my happiness. I lose my happiness. Guys, you and me, we were not made to live in conflict with God. We were not made to live in conflict with God. And this is the story of the lost son that we just read last. Because this kid, that when he left, the first thing that happened to this kid when he rebels, when he doesn't follow God's plan, he hits bottom, doesn't he? Let's look at 15:14 at the bottom of your outline. It says, the younger son wasted all he'd been given, and eventually he became what? Miserable. He became miserable and lonely. I've met lots of men and women who are secretly miserable. They're putting on this mask, this face, you know, and act like, you know, I got a great family, I got a great business, and everything's going great for me. But let me tell you something. On the inside, it don't take long to figure out they're miserable. They are miserable. And do you know why? 100 out of 100 times, nothing destroys your happiness faster than a conflict in a relationship. Am I right? I'm right about that. This guy was out of whack with his father. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all the stuff in the world. But if you got a conflict at home, if you got a conflict with your spouse, if you're in conflict with your parents, if you're in conflict with your kids, your coworkers, your boss, your siblings, life stinks. Am I right? It stinks. If your relationships are out of whack, you're not happy. And it sucks the joy right out of you. Merry Christmas. But you just get disharmony and tension and stress and guilt. And that's just not true with people either. You know, it's true in our relationship to God. You weren't made to be out of whack with God. You know, you weren't made to live separate from God. You're made to be in harmony with Him. And when you're disconnected and when you're separated from God, this is what causes the stress in your life. That's what I say. When somebody tells me I'm stressed out, you're separated. You're disconnected. You know, if you don't feel close to God, guess who moved? You did. You did. Our If you learned anything from these three things, the sheep tells us that our wandering nature separates us from God. The lost coin tells us that sometimes circumstances separates us from God. The prodigal son tells us our choices separates us from God. So if you learn that, I'm really good. The fifth thing is this: I lose my home in heaven. When I'm lost, I lose my home in heaven. Now here on earth, God allows us to rebel. But there is no rebellion in heaven. He allows us to be disobedient, but there is no disobedience in heaven. If there was rebellion and disobedience in heaven, it would be just as hellish up there as it is here on earth. You know, so he's not gonna allow that. But how we live this life is important because we're preparing for eternity. We're preparing for the next life. You know, we might live 80, 90, you know, possibly 100 years. I mean, there ain't many of us make it. You know, I'm not trying to say some of you on borrowed time now, but don't buy no green bananas, all right? But I'm just telling the truth. But so we're only given that time. The other side of eternity is forever. It's forever. What we do here is important. It affects eternity. Luke 9:25 says this. Where am I at? What's the next page? On the backside. What good is it for man to gain the whole world if he loses his soul? Don't invest your time and resources in things that you can't take with you. Don't do it. If you're lost, you could be losing eternal connections. You lose your home in heaven. Like I said, these stories represent the three ways that you and I can get lost. Remember our nature, circumstances, and our choices. But here's the good news. We're winding up. What you don't lose if you're spiritually lost. Write this down. I don't lose my value. Y'all heard me say that. I don't lose my value. I want you to know that you're valuable. Because the sheep, remember the sheep? The sheep is still valuable. Even though the sheep is lost, he's still valuable to the shepherd. And the shepherd drops everything to go get it. I love that about God. God is represented as the shepherd here. That he goes gets him. He drops everything and goes gets him because he's valuable. And remember the coin? The lady here looking for the coin represents God here too. And the coin represents us who are lost. And I love it. It says the lady swept the house diligently. She was relentless on finding that coin. So God is relentless on finding you and me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And then the son. Oh, the son. The prodigal son is really, you know, kind of neat too. Here's the dad. Always looking for him on the porch. Always looking for him to come back. He was waiting on him to come back. God is waiting on me and you to come back because you're valuable. So somebody ever tells you you're lost, say thank you. Because that means you're valuable and that means you're worth finding. You're worth finding. I'm going to tell you something. I've done this for all three services. This is the third service. How about wore this? I've been saving up and I got this $100 bill. But tell my wife it's a $10 bill. But you could take this $100 bill and you could just wad that thing up. You could wad it up. Just wad it up. And you could just spit on it. You could just spit on it. I'm talking about Loogie Town. You could sling it down on the ground. I'm going to tell you what. Then you could just... You could do all that to that $100 bill. And it's still valuable. still valuable. So you may be here today, and society has kicked you. Your parents might have spit on you. Your friends may have wadded you up. Then old Jim might have just thrown you down and stomped you. But the rescuer says you're still valuable. You're still valuable. You're worth enough for me to come to and get you. You're worth enough for me to be relentless and diligent and sweep the floor for you. You are worth it. Do you think that when I went to that front, when Luke was lost, do you think when I went to the gatekeeper, I said, "You see that little blonde-haired boy? Looks like me. You stop him." And if she said, "We don't do that." "Well, you know what? Don't worry about it. He's not worth it." Do you really think I said that? God don't say that either, because you're worth it. And in many cases, when you're lost, you become more valuable. Never has Luke meant more to me than when he was lost. Never did I look for him more than when I didn't know where he was. When you're lost, you may just be more valuable to God. You know how you can tell the value of something lost? Whatever someone is willing to pay to find it. Whatever someone is willing to pay to go get it. Let's see what God was willing to pay for you. This is what God was willing to pay for you. God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him may not be lost, but have eternal life. You see, that's how valuable you are. That God was willing to give his own Son for you. So next time somebody tells you that you're lost, consider yourself worthy to be found at the cost of God's Son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. And I thank you that you rescued me. That once I was lost and now I'm found. Just like most of these folks, just like every one of these folks in these seats. At one time they were lost. And you swept the floors to get to them. When you left 99 righteous people. They didn't figure they needed repenting to come get this one. And Lord, what was interesting, my story is just like everybody else's. When I walked down that aisle at New Prospect Baptist Church in Rockmart, Georgia, I saw you looking. I saw you waiting on me. Then I got lost again. I decided to do things my own way. There you were again. You were waiting on me again. The world had kicked me. People had made fun of me. One was wanting to sue me. There you were again, getting out the fatted cat. For someone just crawling out of a pigsty. Treat me like royalty. My story is just like everybody else's. Maybe you've been that son that's been with Jesus all your life. And you don't understand everything that's going on. You don't understand the big deal about a brother who's gone off and squandered. Oh, brother, you've been with the Father all this time. Everything that was his is yours. Let's rejoice in the ones that came back. Lord, thank you for coming. I thank you for Christmas. I thank you that you just didn't stay a baby, that you became a man. And for 3 years, you walked across this earth and you set up something. You set up a mission field. And those disciples followed your commands. Then you died. And you rose again so that we would have a home in heaven. Oh, Merry Christmas. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.